Blog Talk Radio.
Mark the Rabbit Hole.
Broadcasting live from the fog of Neptune comes a rascally rabbit, exploring the unknown, traveling the astrological landscape, visiting secret worlds, dispelling the English language. So put on your bunny ears and hop down the rabbit hole with your host, Mark Matheny.
Episode six, I believe this is. Sorry, I'm adjusting my microphone. Here, I'll try to stop that. Unless you enjoy static, and then I can do that more often. Here again today with my co-host, producer, shaman guru dude, Iggy Garcia.
Hey, Mark, what's going on, man?
What is happening?
Not much.
Okay.
Checking out your ship.
Alrighty. So, today, I promised I was going to call out some bullshit. Today will be calling out bullshit day. So, we may have a very special guest for you as well. That may be calling in here shortly. For all my little Buckeye fans around town here, I want to give you a before Sunday afternoon. I'm going to do a quick sports thing here, real quick. Before Sunday comes and they announce the pairings for the NCAA playoffs, I just want you to know that the selection committee, sent a very strong message on Tuesday night when they released the rankings. If no one in the top four loses, Ohio State is not going to get in. And they clearly said this by moving TCU ahead of Florida State, Therefore blocking any controversy over that 4 and 5 spot. So that's why they did that, because they know there'd be an uproar and people yelling and screaming if you had BCU, TCU, Baylor, and Ohio State all tied with the same record and all winning or tied conference championships. So they moved TCU up to number 3 this week and Florida State to 4 so that there would be no backlash next week against them. So that was a very clear message by the committee that they ranked TCU a good bit higher than Ohio State and Baylor.
So what happens if they all lose?
I was thinking of that the other day, actually, because I think actually Oregon and Florida State have a chance to lose. Alabama is not going to lose. TCU is not going to lose either.
So what if?
But what if?
There are what ifs in this world.
Well, I mean, what gets really interesting is if somehow 3 of the top, let's just say, yeah, I don't know.
Do they all drop out or just one? Or just
I
three.
Don't think probably it would probably be it would probably just be 2. It would probably be the lowest 2 dropped out.
Mm-hmm. And the other two
it would be Florida State and TCU would drop out. Although, that's not even right. They would have to Arizona would move ahead of Oregon because they would both have 2 losses and Arizona would have beaten Oregon twice.
Right. So they would drop out.
Right.
I mean, realistically.
Right. Now, they're not all... The most likely scenario is that one or two of them lose. So, if Ohio State can beat Wisconsin, if one team loses in the top four, then it's possible that then Ohio State should move up from 5 to 4.
And Florida State's ranked... they're undefeated, and yet they're ranked in the 4th spot.
Right. Right. It's because, I mean, every week they look worse and worse. They look like they're ready to lose.
But they win. It's remnant of that Ohio State undefeated season, remember?
Right, right. When they kept,
just hanging on by a thread.
Yes. Just looking uglier and uglier every single week. Mm-hmm. It's almost like they're asking someone to beat them. So I'm just preparing you. Don't expect. There's not going to be a, if all four of the top four win, there's not going to be a bunch of drama as to whether or not Ohio State gets in. They're not going to. And they did that by moving, because there's no way you could move someone ahead of Florida State at 4 with them if they win, with them being undefeated and defending national champ. So that's why the committee did that. They wanted to do a little razzle-dazzle, deflect some attention now, and save them some grief on Sunday if it comes to that. So that's how that rolls.
I still feel
it. Fuzzbottom reporting.
There she is.
Oh, Fuzzbottom getting a little impatient with this.
I thought she was a little late.
Yeah.
She must be sleeping in.
Oh, I see my friend Allison is in the chat room. Hi, Allie. Thanks for listening. She's a good astrology friend of mine. I actually has a birthday one day before mine.
Nice.
Dueling fishies in the chat room. So I try to keep this fairly positive. And, you know, there's enough negativity out there. But at the same time, I'm going to call some people on their bullshit today.
You need a nap for that.
So.
RBS.
Yeah, so I have a long list of people here I'm going to shout out really quick.
Do tell.
Okay, so as you all know, all governments are terrorists. All government and their subsidiaries and their little committees and everything, they're all terrorists. Our government, Canada's government, Mexico's government, all governments are terrorists and are here nothing but to keep their thumb on their people. And you know, I believe it's in the novel 1984. I believe the phrase is, if you want to see a picture of the future, it's a boot stomping a human face for all eternity. So that is the function of... Oh, and good morning, by the way. So I'm outing the terrorists today. So here's your terrorist report. First terrorist group, the FDA, or as I call them, the Fraudulent Drug Administration, because they're a fraud and they're owned by Monsanto and Pfizer. And everything they do is to hurt people and to put poisons in your medications, in your food. And the other thing that is one of the main purposes of the Fraudulent Drug Administration is to demonize natural medicines and cures that have been used for thousands and thousands of years, going back to biblical days, going beyond biblical days. Because remember, you know, if you go back more than 100 years, there really weren't doctor's offices and pharmaceuticals and whatnot. You know, people actually used herbs. I know this is going to sound like a science fiction story, like I'm making all this up, but follow me here.
Well, yeah, you're making it up.
I know. It sounds like I'm on crack and I'm just making this stuff up. I know. It's going to sound like a totally fabricated story, but for thousands of years, mankind used plants and herbs and oils to cure themselves of things and to help, you know, mediate their system and help them with sicknesses and things. Believe it or not, we did not always have a doctor prescribing us man-made drugs to cure ourselves. I know, sounds like a radical conspiracy theory. So the Frog's Lawn Drug Administration has found that it would be really humorous and a really good waste of the, or a really good use, see, Freudian slip, really good waste, really good use of the taxpayer dollars to try and demonize, you know, some of the essential oil companies and send out cease and desist orders because, you know, certain essential oil companies and companies that sell vitamins and natural things couldn't prove that their stuff actually healed or cured people, even though, you know, the FDA is that aspartame and all these other DNA-altering drugs that cause Alzheimer's and other diseases, even though they let those out on the market every 5 seconds. They thought it would be funny to demonize all of the, you know, all the natural remedies and cures out there that have been used for thousands of years to help cure people. So this is a little thing from, this is author Dr. Merkula's site. I'm just going to read a short little snippet of this. Did you know it's currently illegal for a food or supplement producer to tell you about their product's scientifically proven health benefits? Mm-hmm. Right, because Monsanto doesn't like it. As unbelievable as it sounds, a person could be thrown in jail for telling you the walnuts they grow may slow down the growth of prostate tumors, or cherries ease symptoms of arthritis and gout, even though this is truthful, accurate, and helpful information for a consumer to know. This is why a case was recently heard before U.S. District Court Judge Vanessa L. Bryant could turn out to be a landmark event, as she ruled that the FDA went too far in censoring health claims related to green tea and cancer. The U.S. FDA allows food and supplement manufacturers to use a qualified health claim when there is emerging evidence for a relationship between a food, food component, or dietary supplement and reduced risk of a disease or health-related condition. However, because the evidence is still emerging, the FDA requires qualifying language, translated bullshit. To be included with the claim to indicate that the evidence supporting the claim is limited. And remember, the FDA is the one who allows thousands of different poisonous pharmaceuticals on the market every year. So blah, 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 blah. FDA concludes that it's highly unlikely that green tea reduces the risk of breast cancer, prostate cancer, blah, blah, blah. So the FDA has threatened to seize several different companies' products and telling them to cease and desist. In the ruling that came out this week by Judge Vanessa L. Bryant, she said the FDA wording too strong and effectively negates qualified health claims. So without reading you this whole
I'd like to have a copy of that.
Gigantic thing here. I believe it's on my Facebook wall.
Okay, I will look at it.
So they got their hand slapped actually for the FDA acting like terrorists and trying to spread fear by this is a really long article, so I'm not going to bore you with listening to me babble for eternity. So just along the same lines, some experts have also challenged the FDA over approval for new dose of an Alzheimer's drug, which is called
Should have made you forget already, eh?
Yeah, I should have highlighted. Oh, maybe I need it, huh? So, anyways, I'll find the name of the drug here. But it's, at least from the perspective, EISAI, I believe is the name. It's Donepezil. which is also marketed as Aricept by Pfizer. Okay, so Donepezil is made by Eisai. Okay, so there are actually some research already has found that this drug that the FDA has already approved to go onto the market is really not as helpful and is actually fairly dangerous. So anyways, that was my point. I won't go on forever. So FDA, screw you. That's my first screw you for the morning.
Okay.
Don't worry. There'll be plenty more. My next screw you, hand in hand with the Fraudulent Drug Administration, comes the CDC, the Center for Disease Creation.
Hold on a second. Okay, I'm back.
Don't go chasing rabbits.
Back down into the rabbit hole.
Not the toilet hole, the rabbit hole.
I see our friend Cindy is in the chat room as well. Thank you for listening, Cindy. Hope you're feeling better. Seems like we've all been, a lot of us have been sick here recently. So the Center for Disease Creation, this came out yesterday, December 4th. And here's the title of the article, and this is going to back up things I've already told you previously. The CDC, flu shots may not match latest virus. Wow, what a shock, as if I hadn't already said that 8 million times already. A sampling of flu cases so far this season suggests that the current flu vaccine might not be a good match for the most common seasonal strain currently circulating in the United States, the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention said yesterday. The CDC issued an advisory to doctors noting that flu virus samples the agency took from October 21st through November 22nd show that just under half were a good match for the current influenza. A H3N2 component contained in flu shots for the 2014-15 season suggested that the virus has drifted. Blah, 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 bullshit, bullshit. So I'm going to repeat whatever repeated 100 times. You can be a lab rat if you want and let them fill you with all kinds of aluminum and mercury and other crap that are in these vaccines. But the fact is, that statement I just read to you, you can go back and you can find that an article similar to that from 2013 and from 2012 and from 2011 and from 2010 and in 2009 and from 2008. And you know why the same article comes out every year? Because the flu vaccine never fixes that year's flu.
That's right.
The flu travels around. It goes all around the world, mutates hundreds of times. So never, ever, 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 at any time in history, ever, 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 is the flu vaccine that they tried to give you this year going to prevent you from this year's flu because they're giving you the strain from last year.
Right.
Like, gag me with a spoon.
Oh, my God. Totally gnarly. So again, I take anything the CDC says with about.
I thought we were going to talk about CDs, but okay.
We can talk about CDs. I'll have my list of. I don't have it with me. I'll have my list of best CD releases of the year. And I will.
I'm the quiet one.
Go over that before. But we'll do that for like a year end thing. Cindy says, hi, Iggy.
Hi, Cindy. Hopefully you can hear me.
Okay, so here we go. I've talked about some of the I've talked about some of the things with going on in Ferguson. I think we've all seen that. So now, as much as a lot of us have a certain opinion of what happened in Ferguson with that with the shooting that led to all the rioting and everything. There is at least there's some gray area with that. And there is some, you know, there's some, there's large gaps of time in that where there is not video. And there are very conflicting witness testimonies. You know, it appears to me to be kind of a, you know, an abuse of force on the part of the police there. But I was not there and cannot totally judge, and there is a whole bunch of different, you know, there's conflicting testimonies and whatnot on there. However,
you should see his face.
However, in another situation similar to that, those issues do not exist. In the case of Eric Garner in Staten Island, who was murdered on the street by police officers. I really want to repeat that in case there's any gray area. He was murdered on the street, and there is video to prove it. You see the whole altercation on video. Also, I have a Facebook friend who lives there, actually lives really close there, and gave all of his details the minute after it happened, before it even hit the news. So, I'm calling bullshit again. So,
yes.
I will try to keep reasonably calm on this, but I'm not promising anything. Okay, so you've probably all seen the video by now. You probably all know the case I'm talking about. So, there's some other additional things on this that are kind of interesting. First of all, even though there's people trying to say other words out there, chokeholds have been deemed illegal for the Staten Island Police Department to use on people. I would guess because of previous altercations like the one that happened there recently. Now, a state rep from New York, who I will divulge his name in a moment, because he is on my list, says that it's not really illegal. It's just, how did he put it? It's not really, I've got his exact quote there. I'll get to that. So, essentially using chokeholds by the police is illegal there. Also, what Mr. Garner was doing was selling cigarettes. He was supposedly selling cigarettes between two convenience stores, maybe not the greatest idea in the world. However, the offense for that is a ticketable offense. It is not even a misdemeanor. I mean, it's really not... you know, on the scale of things, I think someone selling cigarettes out on the street would rank, you know, sort of kind of below murder and rape and, you know, that those kind of things. I'd say those that ranks down a little bit lower. So the medical examiner for the I'll just read a little bit of this. This Wednesday, the grand jury in Staten Island announced there was no probable evidence for Sir Daniel Pantaleo has committed a crime. This crime they're referring to is the murder of unarmed civilian Eric Garner on July 17th, 2014. This incident was deemed by the New York City Medical Examiner, I'm going to repeat that, deemed by the New York City Medical Examiner as well as eyewitnesses to be homicide. 22-year-old Ramsey Orta was one of the eyewitnesses who documented the murder by taking a video with his cell phone, which captures firsthand footage of the officer, who is surrounded by armed backup, putting Garner in a fatal chokehold. Unlike the police officer who killed Garner, so this is where this really stinks. So this Staten Island grand jury of just really, really... I don't even think I can use the words I want to use here. Ignorant is the word I'll have to go with. If you remember the Staten Island grand jury and you're out there listening, you are an idiot and you are the problem with this country. And in case there's any gray area, you are the idiot. You are the problem with this country. When you and it's probably a bunch of people that sit around and bitch about how the government is and everything, and they have a chance to right a wrong. And there's no way I could see where there could be different opinions, different viewpoints on the Ferguson event. Even though I may not agree with all the sides, I can see where there can be conflicting because you're missing video footage. There's some scenes of the kids in the store and then out on the street. But this is multiple people filmed this. They have three different angles of this whole scenario that took place. And I mean, for what is a ticketable offense, not even a misdemeanor, four cops grab a dude. He yells, "I can't breathe," seven times. And they just continue putting a chokehold on him. So, on top of that, the NASA scientists on the Staten Island grand jury, not only could they see what everyone else on the face of the earth can see, that this was a blatant case of the police just murdering someone right on the street. They also, apparently, this Ramsey Orta, who took this, I guess, the most popular video footage they used, they only had him on the eyewitness booth for 10 minutes during the trial where the grand jury was able to get evidence. He said only two or three of them asked brief questions, and all the questions were about what he was doing there. Why was he on the scene? What was he up to? So we've got someone who's witnessed this, and it's like the grand jury, which is supposed to be, you know, somewhat competent citizens, right? You know, they're questioning the person who filmed this. They're treating him like the criminal. So unlike the police officer who killed Garner Orta, the man who filmed the murder was indicted by a Staten Island grand jury with felony counts of third-degree criminal weapon possession and criminal firearm possession. In August, the following month after Orta filmed the fatal incident, he was allegedly spotted, allegedly, which means unproven, spotted by, meaning no evidence, spotted by undercover cops placing a firearm into a friend's belt outside of a hotel. Also, unlike the police officer, there was no accusation of assault, violence, or death, only that he, Orta, supplied another individual with a handgun. Orta claims that when he was searched after the alleged incident, the police found no weapons on him. However, the claim by the authorities was enough evidence for the grand jury to indict Orta. So, four cops murder a dude on the street with video evidence and tons of witnesses, and there was no indictment. The guy who filmed the video gets indicted on something where there was no video evidence, no evidence that anything occurred.
Yeah, crooked man. It's really...
Okay, so this is the world we live in here. So
they're just asking for it, man.
Yep. Orta, as well as his wife, claimed the accusation was falsified as retaliation for him filming one of the fellow police officers killing Garner. Orta expressed this apprehension to the court and jury members, but they still chose to indict him. A New York PD spokeswoman quoted Orta as saying, "You're just mad because I filmed your boy." There was no video, photo, or eyewitness support to their accusations. There was only the police report that was used by the grand jury. So this is beyond disgusting. What Orta said about during his testimony during the grand jury trial. He said he claims that he was on the stand for no more than 10 minutes with only three jurors asking him questions. He says that the jury was more concerned with what Garner was doing while he was alive than with Pantaleo, who caused his death. So I guess I misstated that first there. The juror was questioning the witness on what the deceased suspect was doing the whole time. Okay, so they did not seem to be as worried that Pantaleo had used an illegal force tactic to restrain Garner as they were about what Garner was doing on the street in the first place. Orta also adds that more than the murder that he caught on film, the jury seemed to be interested in his own background and questioned why he was even in the area. They were questioning why Orta was there also. They want to know if Orta had seen Garner selling cigarettes, which in comparison to him seeing the death of a fellow citizen should seem petty.
But this happens all over the country, you know.
Right, right.
I mean, and some of this gets exposure.
Right.
So what about the cameras on the police officers? What do you think about that?
Okay. Next person I am calling out, President Barack Obama. I'm not a fan. I do not like the blame game, though, of everything is Obama's fault. And then, you know, he's just doing the same stuff Bush did. Bush is doing the same stuff Clinton did. Clinton's doing the same stuff the older Bush did. Bush Sr. did the same stuff that Reagan did. Blah, 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 blah. Don't like any of them. So, but anywho, yes, I'm calling out Barry here today on this. And yes, I will call him Barry because respect is not given, it is earned. So when it is earned, then you'll get called just like I call Bush Jr. Bushy.
Bushy.
So
that's too nice.
It is. I called him far worse than that. Spent 8 years, every day for 8 years, railing against that dude. Obama's solution is to spend $323 million, I believe it is, on putting cameras on like every cop in America. Why? What in the hell? I'm going to accuse Obama here of something. He likes to do stuff. He likes to make gestures that looks like he's doing something, but in reality don't do anything. It's stuff that he can where he can say, oh, look, see, I tried to do something. But ultimately it's something meaningless. Why would you want to spend $323 million for tax dollars for a country that's broke to spend it putting cameras on cops? And we just had a freaking trial where there was already three videos of four cops murdering someone and they got acquitted. What the hell good is putting cameras on every cop in America going to do? It's a stupid idea.
They want them to look like universal soldiers.
Right, right. That's stupid. I mean, the problem is not there's not enough people with cell phones or cameras in America. That's not the problem.
Let me ask you a question. You know, you were talking about the cop being acquitted. If this guy's selling cigarettes on the street, isn't that an ATF jurisdiction after that?
That's very interesting. That's a very interesting point. You would think that that would be an ATF. Now, supposedly, some of the store owners had called and complained that the guy was out there selling cigarettes.
So it's not the first time, probably, right?
May not be the first time.
So it's alcohol, tobacco, and firearms jurisdiction at that point.
Right, but in my experience, that the ATF really only gets involved when they can burn children alive. So,
okay. Yeah, you're right about that.
Yeah, so if the ATF can't burn helpless women and children to death and some kind of satanic sacrifice, then they usually don't really get involved. I'm sorry. I want to apologize. I want to take that back. They also get involved when they can illegally seize they've also been using the ATF to raid like Amish farmhouses and stuff, because everybody knows the problem in America is the Amish. I mean, I mean, do you ever go out and not get hassled by the Amish?
Well, they're the biggest drug dealers, aren't they?
Right. So thank God that the ATF is out there.
You.
When they're not burning innocent women and children to death, that they are in the satanic sacrifice. Did I mention that? So,
yeah, you did.
Okay. So when they're not doing that, then they are out harassing perfectly legal stuff. And then, yeah, they – you know, I mean, you know, in reality, when you want to, you know – if you wanted to really get drugs off the street, you know, just break into the CIA airport. I mean, they've been busted multiple times smuggling billions of dollars worth of drugs into the country.
Well, you know, police officers can take your property without probable cause.
Right.
So, I mean, that's how they fund their departments. People don't know that.
Yep. Yep. Yeah, it's like bonus money and stuff. That's how they – and then they have –
they arrest your property, not you.
Right.
They can go to your house and arrest your house.
Right.
We're going to arrest your house. It's under suspicion.
Yep. Yep.
It's crazy, man.
I
forget
know.
The name of that law, but I was watching that on YouTube, and I was just flabbergasted. I was just like, what the freak?
Yeah.
Your car's under arrest.
Right. So
what?
Confiscate it for evidence, and then...
Yes, your iPhone's under arrest.
Now on the fair side, I know a lot of people in the CPD, and
as well as I do,
almost to a one, all of them very cool people, very always been very helpful with me, always been very kind, been very good people. So I do not want to paint. I don't like stereotypes of, you know, this is where we get into this crap. You know, all black people are criminals. All. Jewish people are money hungry. All, you know, I mean, you get into these stupid stereotypes, and that's where all these problems stop. You know, I mean, that's where they all start. As you know, just trying to paint big. You know, I don't just because one cop does something bad. I do not think that all of our police officers are bad. I know a lot of them that are really good people.
I agree with you. I know some good cops.
So I think we need to, you know, everyone's on their own individual journey and whatnot. So. Trying to paint groups or countries or whatnot with big...
So who should we blame, really? Should we blame the grand jury? Should we blame anybody for this outcome?
I think the grand jury, but in... You know, well, you know, I'm going to quote the line from the greatest movie ever. If you want to know who's guilty, you need look no further than the mirror, because we allow this stuff to go on.
Yes.
We don't necessarily... I mean, I would never do such a thing and whatnot, but... We allow this stuff to go on by tolerating it.
Should the people, like, when they see things like that happening on the street, should they get involved? Should they, like, push the cops off? You know, what do you think? I mean, I don't know. I'm just curious, you know?
I would hope that if I stumbled across a scene like that where there is a bunch of people and there is someone brutalized, cop versus citizen or... Citizen versus citizen or whatever the scenario, when you see one person brutalizing someone else, whether or not they have a badge or whatever, then yes, I think the citizen should step in.
We're afraid.
We are afraid. We're terrified.
We're afraid we're going to get shot. We're afraid something's going to happen to us too.
Right, right.
I mean, I would think twice, but if someone was doing it to
absolutely.
My family, if someone was doing that to my family, my son or my wife, I wouldn't sit around.
Oh, right.
You know,
my ass would be right.
I'm going down with it, you know, if that means what it means.
Yep.
Because, you know, that's just not going to happen.
Yeah. Because you have to live with yourself after that, I mean.
Yeah.
When you sit and, you know, watch something like that happen.
And you made a good point. There are good cops. You know, there's good police officers as there is bad officers. It's anywhere and anything.
Right, right,
you know,
across the board.
There's good doctors, there's bad nurses, there's good shamans,
bad
astrologers, good astrologers,
yes.
You know. You know what I'm saying? So.
Yes.
I see your point, and it's a valid point. And, you know, it's about being good and being the best you can be, you know, at that given moment. Not necessarily all the time, just at that moment, deciding if you're going to do the right thing.
Yep.
Could he have avoided a problem, that guy, selling cigarettes at the store?
Hey,
that's
Bobby.
That's to be questioned. You know, he could have sold them anywhere.
Right.
His fate was there that day.
Yep.
Unfortunately. Or if he had talked to you, probably, maybe he he might have stayed away that day. Poor guy. No, but, you know, it's, I mean, we're
right.
joking a little bit, but it's really sad that, you know, these kind of things happen in such an advanced civilization, in such an advanced world that we're in, that we don't have tolerance for each other.
Yeah, I mean, I even saw that one of the, and again, this is going to go under the list of empty gestures, but I saw, too, that they were appointing the head of the UN Human Rights Violations Committee to start probing into some things going on here in the U.S., which is, A, kind of ironic that, you know, we're always the one trying to, and they're having to look into affairs here. But again, B, that goes under the topic of empty gestures to me, because that's nothing's going to, like...
Well, the Justice Department needs to get involved at some degree and some level, you know, the federals. But, you know, it's like investigating yourself in the end.
Right. What are they... Right. Exactly.
You don't get $10 million this year. You only get $5
Right. Exactly.
You know, I don't know. You know, I'm just... It's kind of weird.
No, totally agree. It is. It's a big... mucky thing, but we've let this kind of stuff go on for so long that. So, two other people I'm going to call out real quick on that case, and then I'll move on to.
Let's take a plug in. We're right back.
You are listening to WithInsightsRadio.com on the Blog Talk Radio Network, your free online holistic publication resource radio for trusting your intuition, achieving self discovery, and following your soul self.
Boy, that doesn't really work as I come back from commercial, does it?
Quite right.
All right, smart ass. Okay, so, let's see. Yeah, okay, so two of the people I'm going to call out here real quick. Dan Donovan, prosecutor for...
Sounds like a rock
Staten
star.
Staten Island, yep. He's a Staten Island district attorney who failed to win the indictment, failed to use the opportunity to get his face before the television cameras. He's a four-term district attorney. Let's see, where did... just one of the interesting things is he doesn't really try very many cases, this article says, and I'm going to quote from an article here. To understand Donovan and to understand how the Garner grand jury could reach the verdict, it is first necessary to understand something about Staten Island. Officially a borough of New York City, although it wants to deny it, Staten Island voted Republican in the 2013 mayor's race, though Democrat Bill de Blasio won citywide by nearly 50 points. It is a place where its lone congressional representative, Michael Grimm, faces a 20-count indictment, threatened to throw a television reporter off of a balcony, and still won re-election by even larger numbers than before. After getting a 20-count indictment thrown against him and threatening to throw a television reporter off a balcony.
He's
so,
from New York, man.
So those are the people they respect there, I guess.
Yeah, he's from New York, man. He's from Staten Island.
So really, guys, I have a lot of friends in New York. I love you. You guys are awesome. I don't really think it would be any of my listeners that would vote for pieces of shit like that, but... Don't vote for pieces of shit. I mean, if you vote for shit, well, you're going to get more shit.
So is that an uninformed public or what?
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I'm sitting here going, listening to what you just said, and I'm going.
Right. I mean, forget, even if he didn't have the 20 count indictment against him, I mean, he threatened to throw a television reporter off a balcony. Is this like how you, you're going to be like surprised when... Like, bullying is encouraged?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's what I was just thinking, bullying, you know? We have this big propaganda push about not to bully kids or kids, people not bullying people. And you're telling me this story about this guy?
Yeah, I mean, I mean, what kind of role models are we voting for? I mean, what kind of, you know, definition of insanity?
Maybe some people go, hey, you know what? We need someone like that.
Doing the same
damn
thing
reporters.
Over and over and expect, right, expecting different results.
Damn Fox News.
That's right. Okay, so last person I'm going to throw under the bus on this. I'm going to stop, I think. You never really know when I'm going to
As I'm
stop.
Sitting here and the antlers are behind your head.
Right.
On my thing. Looking at you. It's funny. I got to take a picture of that.
Oh, like the Obama thing with that, right. His one conference where had the horns coming out. Gotcha. Rep. Peter King of New York. While many lawmakers have been denouncing the Staten Island grand jury decision not to indict police officer Daniel Pantaleo, Rep. Peter King, Republican New York, has been taking a different approach. On Wednesday, King tweeted his gratitude to the jury for doing justice in their handling of the case. Thanks to the Staten Island grand jury for doing justice and not yielding to outside pressure. Yeah, like all this bastards who don't like people getting murdered on the street. Screw us, man. Screw me. Because I don't like people getting murdered on the street. Maybe I'm the asshole here.
Maybe they're on an island.
Yeah. Decision must be respected.
Well, the judge can overturn that rule, can he?
I don't know the official, that kind of thing. I don't know exactly.
I have to look into that.
How the grand jury works with that.
You could have said they were all drunk and, you know, somebody was drunk on that grand jury.
Yeah.
I mean, who the heck was leading that grand jury? I'd love to listen to that. What
I would love to. I mean, my hope is that, you know, anonymous once again gets in and.
They want to make us very fearful. Don't mess with the cops because they ain't going down. You know.
Yeah. I want anonymous to go in and see if they can get the names of the grand jury members. And
well, at some point, don't they release it at some point? Doesn't it become public record after a certain period of time?
Yeah, but I think it's...
After they all moved away and...
Right, after the last one is deceased.
They'll go back to Oklahoma.
Just like how the government... Right. It's after the... right.
I don't know.
After they get back to the base at Langley, then they...
It's a big circus, man.
Yep. Let's see. Later he told Wolf Blitzer on CNN's The Situation Room that he feels strongly the police officer should not have been indicted, arguing that there's no way he could have known that Garner's health conditions would affect his ability to survive the chokehold. What? Are you high right now? The police had no reason to know he was in serious condition. Other than him yelling, I can't breathe, I can't breathe, I can't breathe.
Well, I'll tell you something about that, which is kind of funny. The universal chokehold is, you know, you turn blue and you can't talk. So obviously, since he says he can't breathe, they assume that he could breathe.
Right.
But, you know, like you said, there are health conditions. Regardless of health conditions or not, you know, there's a better way to handle this situation.
Right, right.
And they just didn't.
Right, because this guy pointed that out, too, that how could he have talked if he couldn't breathe, but... He obviously must have had problems because he died.
Well, you know how it is. If someone's choking, holding your neck,
right.
You know, I mean, there's a point where you can say something. And adrenaline flowing through your body and everything going, all the cortisol moving through there and all that stuff, you know.
Uh-huh.
You just...
So he goes on to say, you have a 350-pound person who is resisting arrest. The police are trying to bring him down as quickly as possible. If he had not had asthma and a heart condition and was so obese... Almost definitely, he would not have died.
Hmm.
Oh, okay. It's okay. So, okay. So, listen to this. Listen, I'm going to repeat this to you. It's okay to kill fat people. That's what he's saying. People that are obese, it's their fault that they may have additional conditions. So these are the politicians that people are voting for. These are the kind of asinine statements. If he had not had asthma and a heart condition and was so obese, almost definitely he would not have died. So, you know, I really, you know, this is what I would enjoy being around, to see people reap their karma. So just in case you think this guy is maybe not an asshole all the way around, he also served as the chair of the House Committee on Homeland Security. And in 2011, he came under some scrutiny because he was holding meetings on the committee on extreme radicalism of American Muslims. So yeah, so he's a fear monger, goes around. So what is it? It's 11. We got. So actually, I set this for
90 minutes.
I set it up for 90 minutes. So we have a. I may get into, since we're on the talking about law today and stuff that goes on in courtrooms. Let's see. Do I want to do this? Probably yes, I want to do this. Okay, so since we're talking about courtrooms and shenanigans that go on in the courtroom, in one way, the legal system did work in this scenario.
In which scenario? Which scenario are we talking about?
The Staten Island.
Oh, the Staten Island one. Okay. This is what you're thinking, or is this what someone you're reading?
This is.
As I interrupt you.
I have some notes here. But,
all right. Cool.
This is my splurge, so you can blame me on this one. Actually, you can blame me on everything if you want. That probably happens already.
Mark.
So, when you're in the courtroom...
Uh-huh.
So, you are not really protected by the Constitution. You are not really... You do not really have rights in the courtroom.
Dun, dun, dun.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so, if you know anything about maritime law or admiralty law, the law of the seas, okay, so I've threatened to do this before. So, this is an article by a guy named Justin Mazza. M-A-Z-Z-A, who put some of these different things together. He picked out a few where, you know, how I love the wordplay.
Mm-hmm.
So we are actually under, the United States has actually been bankrupt since 1933. Maritime law actually came about by way of the ancient Phoenicians or Sumerians. And the Phoenicians were commonly known as seafaring people. So we are under, when you go into a courtroom, you are under the law of the seas. If you have any doubt of that, then ask why everywhere you go you see an American flag, but when you go in a courtroom you see an American flag with gold fringe on it. That means that that you're agreeing to be tried under statute law, the law of the sea, that applies to a legal fiction and not to you, the living, breathing human being with a soul. So this actually, when you go into a courtroom and you see the flag with the gold fringe, it means we are under maritime law, the Constitution is suspended. You're under the law of the seas, the law of commerce, the law of trade. And so as much as I like and appreciate constitutional law, the unfortunate thing is it doesn't really apply in a courtroom in the United States because you're under the law of the seas. And when you enter a courtroom, the Constitution is suspended. Okay. And so just I'm going to get into – oh, also, the maritime law coming from the Phoenicians. Another word that sounds like Phoenicians is phonetics, which is words and language, and like how you pronounce words and the meaning and origin of words. This gets into the etymology. So I'm going to read a little bit of this article from Justin Mazza and throw some of my own stuff in there too. So just to, if you have any doubt about any of this, A, try and find out why the hell when you're in a courtroom there's a flag with gold fringe, but not anywhere else. And then just think about some of these words. So when you place your home in the real estate market, you're putting it up for sale, S-A-L-E, or was it originally S-A-I-L? When we are born, we are issued a birth certificate. Is that B-I-R-T-H or is that B-E-R-T-H? Like birth, like birthing into water, like you birth a ship.
We're pirates.
And what's the last thing that happens before how does a woman know she's going to deliver or her water breaks? And then there's a birth, a B-E-R-T-H. A berth is a nautical term. In nautical terms, is a space where a vehicle can be parked or docked as for loading or unloading. When a ship berths in a port or dock, the captain has to produce a berth certificate. The word captain comes from the word capital or money. In a courtroom setting, the dock is an enclosed space where the defendant stands or sits in a court of law. When you go to court, your course is placed in a docket. An abridged entry of a judgment or proceeding in an action or register of such entries, a book of original kept by clerks of courts containing a formal list of the names of parties and minutes of the proceedings in each court case. That's what a docket is. Okay, so money is water. River banks, and you think banks in terms of money, also control the currency, control the current or currency or flow of water or money. So the river banks control the currency.
Dun, dun, dun.
If you're losing your house, why would you lose your house? Because you're underwater on your payments. When you have a lot of debts, you're drowning in debt.
Yeah.
If you get in trouble and go to jail, someone has to bail you out. What do you do if your boat's leaking? You have to bail it out. The verb bail also means to scoop water out of a boat. So just think of, here's some other words too that you think of in terms of a ship or a vessel or things that could be, construed with how it's tied with, maritime law and the law of currency, if you will. So you have owners. If you possess something, you have to have a title for your car or a birth certificate for it that shows ownership.
Ownership.
To prove you're a citizen, what do you have to? You have to show proof of your citizenship.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a leader, you have to if you're the head of a company, you have to have good leadership.
We're all pirates.
Skills. Yes.
Well, some of us are pirates, right?
Yes. We have the government is your rulership or your lordship. When you're in a legal, when you're dating someone or legally married, you have a relationship.
And when you're going to date somebody, it's called courtship.
It's called a courtship. Very good. Or you may just have, if you have dealings with a person, you have a partnership.
Mm-hmm. And when you have good friends, you call it a friendship.
You have a friendship. If you want to go to school, what's a good way to go to pay for your college education?
Scholarship.
A scholarship.
And when you want to go on a carnival cruise, you call it the fun ship.
The fun ship. Sometimes not so fun.
But I get your point. I get where you're saying. Where are you going with this?
Or if you want to learn more about a trade, to do an apprenticeship.
Mm-hmm.
You can work at a dealership. You can go to church and have fellowship.
Mm-hmm.
You can friendship, like you said. If they don't like what you're saying, you may run into censorship.
Mm-hmm.
If you live in a small place, it might be a township.
Mm-hmm.
So you see, we're all of America really is kind of divided up into different townships.
Yeah.
Even if I see the Dublin or Upper Arlington police or whatnot.
Perry Township.
Right. It's Perry Township.
Mm-hmm.
Because they are the law of the seas.
Just transmuted
onto land.
There is a river over there.
There is a river over there. So then we also have, yes, I mean, you go to church, it's to worship.
Yeah. And that has a double meaning.
Right.
Worship, or how you the inflection is on the word.
Right. Aren't many wars
is
started
it worship,
by, relate,
or
by
is
religion?
It worship? Wow.
Okay. So, maritime law. Yeah, okay.
Well, even the courtroom's designed like a ship. People don't realize that.
Yes, yes. And what do you... You have like a sandbar or something?
Well, yeah, the...
You know, you have a sandbar, so you go up...
Mm-hmm.
You have to take a bar exam.
Bar exam.
To enter the... to enter the ship.
Yeah, well, I mean, the first gate that opens up is to allow you into the ship.
Right.
Well, you probably were going to get to that, but...
No, I don't have everything on it. It was just...
But if you ever go to court, the first thing they ask you is to identify yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they'll say your name, and if you actually acknowledge, then you are actually acknowledging them.
Mm-hmm.
But if you say, I am who you say I am, then you can sit there all day and say that. As long as that you don't acknowledge their, as long as you don't acknowledge the court at any level, then they can't actually try you on anything. People don't realize this, but as soon as you give in to one order,
correct.
Like say you were chewing on a toothpick,
uh-huh.
And you kept, you know, and you're doing your thing, and the judge says, "Can you take that toothpick out of your mouth?" And you say, "Oh yes, sir." And you take it out. As soon as you acknowledge the court at any degree, any level.
Okay. So I know there's lots of people who poo-poo this stuff out there, but I know people that have gone to court and won cases with this. This is, you will find, you can search admiralty law, maritime law, jurisprudence, common law, sovereign citizen, straw man, all these words you can search on the internet.
Well, they want to tie your paper version of you with your spiritual version. They want to,
right.
They want to tie them together.
Right.
Because they're only trying the name, the corporate version of yourself.
Right. 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 So when you're born, you're given a social security number or a work ID, and that is why you're allowed to draw a pension from the government, because you are a employee of the corporation.
Mm-hmm.
There really is no United States of America. United States of America is a, with all capital letters. If you'll notice, any bill you have, any credit card you have,
your driver's license,
your driver's license, everything that's spelled in all caps is not you. That is the legal entity set up for you when you're born with your birth certificate to launch you into the court system.
Because the only version that can really destroy is your paper version.
Right.
They can't destroy you, the physical part, actually.
Right. They can only try and entrap you by
mm-hmm.
the And so in a lot of my rabbit hole classes, in my astrology classes, we've talked about this stuff to where when you're in a courtroom, or even like the Bible even is another good example, where these things are all operating. In fact, reality as a whole pretty much is operating on three levels. There are three levels operating where we have, like, and then we'll just run with the courtroom thing here. So we have the basic, you know, the constitutional law, what people think is the, what people think on the law books and stuff is really going on in the courtroom. Then we have this maritime law or the law of the seas, which is what is really under effect and going on in the courtroom, as evidenced by the gold fringe on the flag. And then we have the spiritual battle going on, where they are trying to haul in your spirit by keeping your legal physical name locked up and chained. So they're trying to keep your spirit down by keeping you trapped in the 3D reality of things.
That's why nicknames are so important.
Yes. Yes, this is correct. This is correct.
That's a whole different topic I can get into.
Right.
The power of nicknames.
I have many nicknames over my life. A few of them can probably be repeated on air. So, let's see. Okay, so the United States flags in every federal building, court, school, or wherever are framed with a gold yellow fringe because of the meaning this has in maritime law. Whenever the president makes an address on television or speaks in a federal setting, you will see the American flag behind him with a gold-yellow fringe. Once again, this is maritime admiralty law. So once again, this is telling you that this is – have you ever noticed when you go to the flag store and buy a flag to, you know, look at the flags outside people's houses and stuff. Do you see any of those with gold fringe?
Mm-hmm.
How come it's only the public buildings and federal buildings where – they're trying to get us to follow their laws.
It's all treaties. It's all treaty law.
Mm-hmm.
It's all merchant. It's merchant law.
Yes, yeah. It's commerce law.
Yeah,
it's the law of trade,
yeah.
Law of the seas.
It has nothing to do with anything but that.
And that's why you really do not have your constitutional rights that you think you have when you're in a courtroom. The same happens with foreign embassies. The flag, Under the international law of the flags, the type of flag displayed by a ship decrees the law that applies aboard that vessel.
Hmm.
By going aboard or entering a courtroom, you are accepting the jurisdiction of the law that applies to the flag. The same happens with foreign embassies. The flag they fly ensures that the law of the country they represent applies within the confines of the embassy. An article at usatherepublic.com puts it this way. When you enter in a courtroom displaying a gold or yellow fringed flag, you have just entered into a foreign country, and you better have your passport with you, because you may not be coming back to the land of the free for a long time. The judge sitting under a gold or yellow fringed flag becomes the captain or the master of that ship or enclave, and he has absolute power to make the rules as he goes, which is why we get so many judges that will rule on cases that doesn't really apply to make rulings that they can't really, one wouldn't think they could legally make. The gold or yellow fringe flag is your warning that you are leaving your constitutionally secured rights on the floor outside the door to that courtroom. A flag with a gold fringe indicates admiralty law, and when you appear in a court displaying a flag of that nature, you're agreeing to be tried under statute law, the law of the sea that applies to a legal fiction and not to you, the living, breathing human being. What we are finding out is that governments are indeed corporations and act as such. They act on behalf of the corporation and not the people, And actually, if you trace it back to the United States of America, the corporation is actually nothing more than a subsidiary or franchisee of the London Corporation.
Oh, the Queen owns us. Is that what you're saying?
That's exactly what I'm saying.
Okay.
That is exactly what I'm saying.
The German Queen.
Frau Blücher.
Yeah. Well, people don't realize that the Queen of England is German.
Mm-hmm.
Her ancestry is German. She's not English. She's only English because she's there. Because
she's right. Because she's in England. So there's all there's all kinds of trickery and silliness that go on in the courtroom, and we'll probably do another.
Yeah, if people just do a little more research and just read the
right
the skim top part of the coffee, with the milk, kind of skims over. A lot more deeper stuff, when you start to study it.
Yep, when you start looking at words. So just really just kind of go look at your Social Security card, and you would think there would be a mistake or something once in a while, because really companies, set up form things within their own like every statement that comes out of Chase Bank, they probably have the default templates and things like that they use and everything.
Mm-hmm.
But look at every single piece of mail you have from every bank, from every bank, every lending institution, every legal institution, every credit card company, mortgage, utilities. Look at anything that comes to you, addressed to you from any kind of legal and everything is always your name is in all capital letters.
Hmm.
Your name is in all capital letters. And that's because they are addressing your legal entity that you, when you accept a Social Security number and do not later.
Yeah, like my name, Ignacio Garcia, I'm going to get to you. And Suzanne, I'm looking at a piece of letter. What's funny is that when you say that, I remember when I was a kid, probably you remember this too. They used to talk about Russia. Remember when the communist countries were big and they're like, oh, you got a number, la, la, la.
Right.
And everybody here is like, we're free here. I'm like, no. We have a Social Security number. That's
dumbass,
pretty much attached
right.
to us. I don't know what you're talking about.
Right.
Oh, but it's not the same. Oh, really? Hmm. Yeah, okay. Whatever. All right. Okay. That's not what my dad told me, but that's okay. I remember that so vividly. Especially when you tell teachers that. When you're like 12 and you're telling the teacher that.
Right, and they're just like, yeah, they just don't. They don't buy it. So, lost one of them.
As we go into silence.
The
ninja panda has arrived.
I was
quiet, you didn't even hear him.
I was looking for a sample here. I couldn't find it.
No, don't push that one.
Yeah.
Did you find it?
No.
I found one. I know. Okay.
Clever.
I knew she'd like that.
Okay. So in general, I guess we could go on that for.
So we hit sports, right?
Yeah.
Cavs won.
Huh?
The Cavs won last night.
Yes, the Cavs are playing better.
Five in a row.
Yep.
They almost lost last night. They look like, I don't know, they just look sloppy, but Kyrie, man.
Yeah, he lit it up.
Did you watch it?
No, I was watching my Mountaineers were on last night. Blew a 12-point lead at home, and then watch maybe the greatest high school football game I've ever seen in my life.
Catholic Central?
Toledo's.
Is that the
Catholic Central in Athens, yeah.
Oh, that was a great game, man. I watched it between the Cavs, like I was watching.
May 55-52.
That was crazy. That
there was
10, and they played defense.
Or 11 lead changes in the, yeah.
You know, that's unheard of in high school football, especially with the amount of clock time that they actually have. That's a lot of points, man.
Yeah, 12-minute quarters. I mean,
an average game, they play what?
48 minutes.
48 minutes, right? I mean, that's almost.
That's a point a minute for both. That's over a point a minute for both teams.
That's crazy. That's insane.
And it wasn't a lot of fluky stuff. I mean, it was guys making incredible plays.
Oh, it was beautiful.
And the guy for Athens was Division, I forget what
division. It was Division
III. Yeah, he was Division III Player of the Year, and he signed to go play quarterback at Ohio State. And he also averages
which
like.
Which one is that? Which
Burroughs.
Which team was he on?
Athens.
Oh, okay. Little white guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah,
he's good, man. Just patient. I was watching him. Both teams played great.
Yeah.
I was just like, wow, this is.
I couldn't turn it off because I was switching around, too. I'm like, man.
I kept coming back. I mean, especially in the last quarter. You know, the last quarter was just heated. That was anybody's game.
Yep. Yeah, that was amazing. That was amazing.
Pretty cool.
Yeah, so it was actually three games today as well.
Yeah, and congratulations to them for winning. Well, Division II is today, right, and one?
I think one is Saturday.
Is it Saturday? So what's...
There's three divisions today and three tomorrow.
Okay.
So there's seven.
How many
divisions
do they have?
There's seven now.
Oh, wow.
And,
Division seven?
and in football, I think basketball only has six.
Yeah, I thought there was only like... Well, yeah. Division 1, 2,
they
three.
Just expanded it because they made one that smaller division with just the huge, huge schools in
okay.
it.
Okay. Well, that makes sense because, you know, there are a lot of small schools to pair up.
Yeah.
I wonder how they would fare with a Division 1 school. They'd probably all right, wouldn't they?
Probably. Most of them probably not.
Really? Just because of size and stuff?
Right. Just because their first team, but just the amount of depth.
Oh, okay.
And stuff. It would be
They
looked
small,
of,
didn't they? I
yeah.
was sitting there watching the game. And go, they were kind of small. I mean, some were kind of big, but they looked little compared to, like, watching Ohio State or another team play.
I mean, it was amazing. It was the first state championship game in Ohio Stadium for...
Quite some time?
Ever? It was, like, 28 years or something.
That probably builds... That pumps you up, too.
Right. Then you have, like, maybe the greatest high school game ever.
That was a great game.
Yep. We went to the state championship. I didn't play football, but my senior year, we went to the... State championship game.
Yeah,
first year they had overtime. We were the first overtime game, lost by 3 points in overtime.
Oh, wow.
And actually, because of some confusion, because nobody really knew the overtime rules.
Oh.
So it was kind of a very fluky thing, because the other
horrible.
Team had gotten a first down. And so we were all cheering it. Because we stopped them from getting a touchdown, but they got. So we were cheering. We thought we'd won the state championship.
Oh, wow.
Because we didn't understand the rules. It never said that you could. We were just told that you get four downs to score. We were never told that you could get a first down. We thought because you'd started the ball at the other teams like 20 or 25 yards.
You can get a first down.
Yeah, but this was
just
not,
when you just implemented.
This was 1985.
Oh,
this
was
the first year. This was the very first year they had overtime in high school football.
Oh, okay.
And so no one had ever 99% of the teams had never been involved or seen an overtime game, and how we heard the rule was you have four downs because our team started.
I see what you're saying.
Jumping up and down and coming off the field.
So the other team gets an opportunity to score too. Is that true?
Right. Well, we had scored. We had scored a field goal.
Okay.
So we're up three. We stopped that. They had fourth down, and we stopped them from getting a touchdown. We thought we had won the state championship.
Oh.
But then they marked it as a first down. It's like,
oh, gosh.
Wait, we didn't know that you get first downs. We heard, said four downs to score, starting at the 20.
Right.
We thought it was four downs. Which
that would make it more interesting, though, if you only get four downs.
Yeah, yeah, because since you're giving the ball to 20,
yeah.
The other team's 20 to start with.
But you still got 10 yards to make, so I guess it makes sense, too.
Yeah. So we'll go into I'll give you my playoff predictions for the college bowls after they announce the final four teams. But I think Florida State and Oregon are the two most likely to lose this weekend.
Rich Rodriguez, man. I can't believe that. He coached at Michigan, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm like, man, he couldn't get together in Michigan, but he went to Arizona and just...
Yeah, he came from my school. He came from...
Oh, yeah,
from my favorite team. Yeah.
I was just blew my mind. I was like, how can you go to one program and not be necessarily successful? Well, they didn't give him a chance either.
They didn't. In fact, there's a lot of stuff showing where...
He was only there 3 years.
The last coach kind of did a bunch of stuff to screw with him. He kind of sabotaged some things.
Oh,
some
for Rich
recruits and stuff. Yeah, because...
Well, you know, Michigan, that's what they get. And through the pipeline, I heard that Jim Tressel wanted to coach there, but I think that's just a big shaboo-boo, you know?
Yeah.
Because he's still on probation for 2 more years anyhow, so...
Tressel is?
Yeah, he had a 5-year ban, remember, from the time that they...
Oh, wow.
He was not allowed to be involved in any college level athletics.
That's right. I forgot about that. Because Tressel's somewhere now.
He's out of college somewhere.
He's the AD for, like, it's like Akron or
yeah, something like
somebody.
That. He just can't coach.
Right, right.
For a couple more years. But could you imagine him going to Michigan? It'd be like Bo Schembechler.
Oh, right.
To, you know, Michigan. That's what made the rivalry so big.
Right, right.
It just proves that, you know, Michigan doesn't have the talent, even at coaching. They need someone from Ohio to come in there and do it for them.
To come in and save them.
You know, I mean, I'm from Peru, but, you know, even Peruvians figure that out.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see who Michigan takes for their next coach.
Yeah, they made not a Michigan man. I remember they said
oh,
that.
Right.
That didn't work for us.
Right, that didn't work too good.
If you're Michigan, I do not apologize.
So I don't think Harbaugh will. I don't know if Harbaugh. I mean,
I don't know. San Francisco's going to probably saying, hey, you know what? He's from San Francisco, right?
He's
coaching there, right?
He's coaching San Francisco.
Yeah. I mean, they probably say you need to buy out his contract. The remainder part of his contract.
Right.
Would you come?
Would I go?
Come to Michigan from San Francisco?
I don't know. I mean, he played for Michigan. I mean.
Yeah. Saban came from the pros, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
And he's done pretty well.
Oh, well, yeah. Yeah, you can go from the pros to college and do pretty good. It's harder going the other way. But, I mean, I'm just saying, things aren't really looking that good in San Francisco for Harbaugh. I mean, there's been constant arguing.
Yeah, they want to get rid of him. I know that. Some people are talking about that. But
yeah.
But he's a good coach, man.
He's a very good coach. He's a very good coach.
My biggest fear is him coming here because he'll bring kids.
Yeah.
Just because of his attitude.
Yeah.
Read Ohio State.
Right. Oh, yeah, he'll definitely...
It'll be a couple of years before that'll even happen, I think, regardless. We got Myers, Urban Meyer. You know, he's a tough cookie.
Yeah. Yeah, they're going to – Ohio State's going to
– So what's your astrological prediction about Ohio State? We're already in the third string. We were in second string, the third string.
I have not looked at –
I think it looks pretty good. Shamanically speaking.
I've got all the charts for the teams left dug out. I just have not.
What's your gut say, Mark?
Oh,
you're kind of wiggling around that chair.
My gut, man, I don't know. They're going to have to play the best run defense they've played all year.
Yeah. That's for sure.
Because you can run on Ohio State. It's been done last 5 weeks.
But I've also seen him play a pretty good run defense too. You know, the spotty.
Right.
You know, one week it's like really good, and 1 week it's like...
Right, but it's been pretty bad the last 5 weeks in a row. They've had a guy get over 100 yards on him 5 weeks mm-hmm. in a row.
It's SEC football.
Two dudes got almost 200.
Yeah.
And now you're going against the guy who's the best running back in the nation.
He averages, what, 400 yards a game?
Well,
or
no,
300,
he
400.
He averages... 180 or something like that, but I mean, he's got like over 2,000. I mean,
well, he's had a 400 yard rushing game.
He did. He set the record. Yeah, that was the NCAA record.
That's insane.
But it got broke the following week by a freshman.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. For Oklahoma,
yeah.
That's right.
There's some good running backs out there.
Mm-hmm.
And quarterbacks. But I look at all the teams that are up there in the top four. Their defenses are really bad, I think. I've watched some of their games. And they give up a lot of points.
Alabama's defense can be scored on a lot more than in the past.
Yeah, Florida State's given up, you know.
Yeah,
points.
I'm not impressed with Florida State.
You know,
though.
Even TCU's given up 42, 48 points, you know.
Yeah, I think TCU.
Oregon, too.
Yeah, yeah.
No, they
I think TCU has the best defense out of the Final Four.
Yeah, I would have to agree with that. I have to agree with that. But they all give up a lot of points regardless.
Yeah.
You know, but they have a lot. They score a lot of points.
Right.
You know, even the only one that doesn't score a lot is probably Florida State, number one, then Alabama, I would have to say second. But Oregon and TCU score a lot of points.
Yeah.
So does Baylor.
Yeah. So I'm saying that I saw what did they have? There's bowl projections out there.
I'd like to see Ohio State play Baylor if they don't make it to the top four.
So right now I saw one guy has them getting into the Final Four and playing Alabama in the semis.
Who?
Huh?
Who's getting into the semis?
One guy has Ohio State making the Final Four, so he must have one of the other four losing. It looks like he's picked Florida State to get upset. So one of the guys at ESPN has Ohio State playing Alabama in the semis.
Well, they're right at the bottom. You know, they put Florida right there just in case they drop out. It gives an excuse to drop them out of the top four. You see what I'm saying? It's a perfect setup, like you were talking about earlier.
If
Florida State loses.
Oh, right.
Ohio State wins out.
Right.
Regardless of what kind of game they have, they moves them up into that
My point earlier was them saying that TCU is not going to fall out by winning.
I don't think so.
Because the argument has been between TCU, Ohio State, and
Baylor.
And Baylor.
Those three right there.
Yeah.
Baylor got screwed.
I think Baylor got screwed, too.
How the heck?
Well, the other guy has Ohio State playing Missouri in a bowl game. He has Ohio State not getting into the Final Four.
Missouri, if they're on, they can play well.
Yeah, they're not going to beat Alabama, though.
It could happen, though.
Although they've got a quarterback from Ohio. He's from
Alabama?
Missouri.
Those Ohio quarterbacks are
tough. But Missouri's not going to. Any team that lost at home to Indiana, it's not going to beat Alabama.
But they're in the title conference championship, right? They're in the championship conference.
Yeah, because the five best teams in the SEC are in the other half this year.
That's true.
Everybody else on the other half has like four or five losses.
Well, we'll see. The games have to be played, right?
Yeah.
Alabama's a slow starting team, too.
Yeah.
If they get in a hole, they get real panicky and they start. All eyes on my black eyes.
Yeah, I think. Yeah, it'll be. Lots of TV sets will be on Saturday night
every announcer will be like, told you.
Right. Well, I mean, every TV set will be on because Florida State and Ohio State both play at 8 o'clock Saturday night. So
we'll put one on one TV, one on the other.
Yes. At the.
Oops.
Tinfoil
Iggy party.
Iggy Garcia birthday tinfoil hat party.
Everybody has a birthday in December party.
So I've got cheating a little bit, but I have extravagant plans for my tinfoil hat.
Cool.
And I will post it next week. I will post the tinfoil hat.
The party's this weekend.
There will be lots of pictures.
Okay.
60 seconds.
On the internet.
We're running out of time.
So, happy early birthday to you.
Thank you, sir. Happy early birthday to you.
Three months early. Yeah, so our guest did not call in today. We will try to get her on. I have several other guests lined up. We'll have someone lined up for next week. And I think we will do honoring the great Bill Hicks, greatest comedian of all time. I think we'll have we'll do some kind of Bill Hicks tribute one of the next two shows around his birthday. So, let's see.
Mark. Ta. time to return to the ship.
Okay, well, Fuzzbottom's telling me it's time to return to the ship.
And I will stay here.
I think that did it.